Welcome to the podcast. My name is Jamie Knight, and I'm a realtor with Real Broker right here in Cajun Country, Lafayette, Louisiana. The goal of this podcast is to provide massive value by bringing insider access to our area's top agents and find out how they've been able to achieve massive success in their business. My hope is that you take a few things away from their experiences to grow your own business. My guest today is a fellow Acadiana realtor and Cajun musician, Bo Thomas. Bo is a top producer who is a little unconventional with the way he runs his business. You guys are going to love his vibe. Welcome to the podcast, Bo.
Thank you, Jamie, for having me. Glad to be here with you.
All right, brother. So I'm going to put you on the spot, man. We're going to have you play a little bit of music on your fiddle, something that do on stage often. So we're going to have you do a little taste of that for us.
All right, a little unconventional fiddle music here.
Dang, dude. That's what's up. So writing a purchase agreement should be easy then, right?
Talk about piece of cake, baby.
That's it, dude. That's awesome, man. Yeah, so I...
Now, writing it the right way is a whole different story, Jamie.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, man. So tell us a little bit about kind of how you got into the business and, you know, give us a little backstory on you.
Oh, wow. Okay, so I'm a mature adult age-wise, you know, 50. I'll go ahead and say my age. So that's quote-unquote mature. But actually, real estate was definitely not on my radar.
Okay.
I was in a family business and have been all of my life, Cajun food business, Cajun power sauce.
Okay.
That's my family business. So we were the taste testers growing up. And,
nice.
You know, I was in the food manufacturing business. And when I started playing music around 17 years old, I found what I wanted to do. You know, like I could do a lot of things, but I really wanted to play music.
Nice.
And wanted to perform. And, you know, so started doing that. And later on in life, remembered that, you know, my dad had always said, man, you'd be great at real estate, you know, you should get your license. And I'm like, in my head, I'm like, no, I don't really want to be a realtor, you know,
right.
And realize, hey, maybe I could do this differently. So I decided to go ahead and get my license kind of midlife, you know.
Nice.
And man, when I got into it, it was like, man, why didn't I do this so much earlier? It was really cool. So, you know, but it was also great in the respect that I had a lot of different types of business experience and people experience, nonprofit experience. So it was like I took all of that with me and just applied it to my real estate and what I know about people in general. And it's just been awesome.
Nice. Yeah. That's awesome. Actually, what's funny, I didn't even know about the Cajun power thing. My family, same thing. We had like a Cajun seasoning, Fruget Cajun seasoning. So I started with that too. And we had a lot of people kind of had that Cajun.
You got a seasoning? I got a seasoning, but we all got a seasoning around here.
We need to share that. We need to pass that around the table.
I love it. Some Fruget.
Well, yeah, some Fruget.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, man.
Yeah, so we just, it's funny that everybody kind of has that background in Cajun food and everything else. And certainly people who are listening around the nation, you got to come down to Louisiana. If you haven't ever been down to the deep South, you got to come down to Lafayette, Louisiana. I know a lot of people have been to New Orleans, so you got to come and experience our vibe, our food around here, and especially our music. Cause I mean, geez and Pete, that's awesome. So, so I guess tell us a little bit about we talked about you being unconventional. So what does that mean for you? Like, what does that look like for you?
Ah, man. You know, I think at the end of the day, let me just say it like this. I want to do what I want to do, how I want to do it, when I want to do it. As far as for what I enjoy in life, you know, I'm thinking, you know, I think to be focused and really enjoy what you do, you have to clear a bunch of other things out of the way. So, you know, early on in my real estate, I guess unconventional is that I own some other businesses and I play music full time. I tour, you know, so I still run a real estate business and I've always done that. I've always, you know, even when email first came out, I was emailing across the country and I've met some people that I did business with for 7 or 8 years over email. Nice. You know, and they were like, man, it's nice to meet you. They've seen me at like a company crawfish boil or a board meeting somewhere. And they're like, man, it's nice to actually put a face with somebody. I've done so much business that way. Right. And I guess I've learned to do what fits for me, you know, what works for me.
Right.
And that's communicating. I think it's very effective to communicate by email with certain people, and certain people is very effective by text. And also I'm unconventional that, you know, I'm on stage, so I'm getting, you know, people usually call me for their real estate. You know, I'm not really paying for leads or doing things like that. So from a business standpoint, I'm out in the public and they, you know, I'm about to get on stage and they want to talk about the market or real estate. I'm like, hey, freaking awesome, man. And also let's continue this Monday morning, man. Let's see if we can work together.
Yeah.
Heck yeah. But you know, sometimes it's just an opportunity people have to see you. So it's unconventional. I have tattoos. I might show up in shorts and flip flops, you know?
Right.
Yeah, man. I tell people, hey, you didn't hire me or you're not going to hire me because I look really good. You're going to hire me to get you in that property, negotiate the terms for you, watch out for those due diligence items.
Yeah.
In the meantime, you know, it's 106 degrees in South Louisiana.
Yeah, absolutely.
Shoot. Yeah.
Heck yeah. So that's perfect. I like that. That's a great answer. Yes, for sure. So I think I had written down you didn't hire me because I dress good.
I have a radio face, man. Yeah. I came with a radio face today.
I say the same thing. I said, I got a face that's made for radio. So that's why we're on a podcast and we're not on video right now.
Exactly.
So we'll put some pictures of our headshots and stuff so people think we're professional or whatever. But yeah, that's awesome. I love your vibe. And I grew up the same way. My dad played music and we grew up in the same. And Bo was a great friend of my dad's. And we played music, you know, grew up kind of playing music, tinkering around on a lot of things. I, you know, transitioned into DJing and that kind of thing. So that's where the audio comes in. But yeah, that's awesome. So I guess tell us, and you do some comic stuff. Tell us a little bit about that. What's that all about?
Yeah. So I guess I have a little niche. I am going to be doing some stand up here next month, maybe the end of this month. I kind of got roped into kind of debuting like some stand-up, you know, but when I say stand-up, I mean like a 20 to 30 minute set, you know, so it's one thing to make somebody laugh at a party, but it's a whole nother thing to make people who have paid and are looking at you like, okay, I just paid, you make me laugh now, you know, it's
deliver.
Really funny, you know.
Now you need to deliver.
However, you know, I do have 10 plus years of full-time, probably 5 to 7 times a week, preaching on a platform.
Okay.
I did a full-time ministry and worked with students. So, well, if you can keep students, if you can have students actually want to come to church, my God, man, you must have some kind
of... You got a little something.
You must have a little something, you know? So, anyway, but I also do kind of specialize in phone pranks.
Okay.
Which, you know, I should work the phones as an agent. You know, I do every once in a while just to know that it's
still there.
Effective.
You still got it. Yeah.
I know, man. And my son is like me. He said, Dad, I'm going to work those phones because I know I can get them on. I said, I know, Jack. You got it. But yeah, a little bit of comedy. I do phone pranks. And, you know, you can actually, if you dig hard enough on iTunes, you can find me at My Prankster, myprankster.com. Yeah, you can find me there. And
maybe not the best for the real estate business, but hey, you
know,
you got to be
what?
Real.
It's all good. You got to laugh. You know?
And those are way before
I tell you what,
in
my
real
clients
estate.
Absolutely love the phone pranks. And I've used them. You know, you got to use everything. Everything works and nothing doesn't. You know, like that's like, how am I unconventional? Again, you know, like I'll bust into talking to a business owner and say, hey, by the way, I'm going to leave you with this. And this is how good I can be on the phone with the person I'm negotiating with on your behalf. And I'll leave that with them. And they'll call me back and be like, man, this is really amazing. They're laughing, but this is quick, you know, because it's all impromptu.
That's
know?
Awesome.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah, dude, that's so much fun, man. I love it. Yeah. I love the personalities that we have of other realtors and people in our community because, man, I just think, like you said, and I think Cody a couple of podcasts back, man, was like, I don't even really like this. You know, that was his podcast, and I just thought it was such a crazy concept. But you're not I think you could probably, that probably rang true with you too, where you're not the guy that has the realtor license plate and showing up with the name tag and all
right,
that stuff.
Right, totally.
Like, that's
totally.
Not you for sure, right?
Totally. And, you know, I've discovered that this business is, it's such a huge business. It encompasses so many things and so many aspects that someone can really stay away from the things that they don't want to do. Like if you don't want to show houses or if you don't want to do certain things, they have services you can employ for your benefit and you can really focus your time on what it is you love to do. And that's also, I think, the secret to enjoying what you like, what business you're into, you know?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I think the top producers, especially, you hear that a lot is, you know, they have people who do the things they don't like to do. And like even more recently, and not that I don't enjoy, I mean, I do like being organized and stuff like that, but I had a transaction coordinator and she keeps me organized.
Right.
Totally. And she does the things that I don't want to do and I don't enjoy.
I mean, it's still
doing.
Your name on the line. You're looking at every document.
Yeah. So she still puts me as a reviewer on everything, but I'm sure you probably have a transaction coordinator too. Yeah.
Yes.
So, cause you got to be able to do what you enjoy doing. And that's a multitude of different things, but people are coming to you because they want your personality, not because you know how to.
Right. And you know,
type the best or whatever.
Oftentimes people don't even know what they need for something. But part of our fiduciary duty towards our clients is that we know what they actually need. You know,
right.
It's their decision on the numbers if they're going to take this offer as opposed to this one. But we have a duty to explain all of those terms, all of those stipulations in the contract and what they mean, you know.
Right.
So they come to us for one thing, but, you know, we wear that hat partially like anything else. We have to put on our professional hat and help them, you know, aside from the personality and all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, for sure. So
definitely.
And I think that and you talk about like getting into the business later in life. I do see this as a great career for somebody that comes with a multitude of business set from a multitude of business settings. Like this is the perfect career for that because all of those things you brought growing up in the business, seeing your dad as a business guy, seeing, you know, growing up around these musicians and being on stage and all those other things that brought you to where you are now created the person that you are.
Definitely.
And that whole experience has brought you to shaped you into what you have. So you've got a lot to offer,
yes,
but it's hard to put it into writing.
Right.
I'm sure of like, hey, you need to use me because I'm dressed in this suit or whatever.
Right.
That's just not you.
Yeah.
But I love following you on social media too. Cause you're always posting off the wall stuff. Like, and I'm like laughing the whole time. I'm like, Bo's crazy, dude. Like how does he get away with that? Like, how does he get away with saying all that stuff?
I got to push the envelope, you know, like I do tell my clients sometimes when we finish, I was like, you know, you crazy, right? You are crazy. And I'm going to tell everybody, I'm not going to tell them who it was. I can't say that, but I'm going to have to use this as a story.
Yeah.
You know, and they laugh, of course, you know.
Yeah.
And it's funny, you know, some of the things that happen on the, you know, you're dealing with emotionally charged subject, you know, it's a lot of money, you know.
Right.
No matter where you are, they're either spending money on a piece of land or a home or a business or commercial too, whatever it is, you know, there's a lot of things that happen that people don't realize that we do, you know. So we're like, you know, whether like it or not, we're counselors, you know, we do all the things.
Therapists,
you know?
To talk about that
a
lot.
Yeah, yeah.
But at least with your, I mean, too, the way you bring your vibe and stuff like that, you've got that real good way of being able to maybe make a situation a little bit more comfortable just with your personality and being lighthearted and maybe finding a way to find some humor in it or whatever after the deal's over.
Yeah. And you know, I've officiated funerals too, you know, like I've the whole licensed ordained minister for a long time.
Oh, dang.
And you know, I've connected deeply with a lot of people, you know, like a lot of my business comes from my past businesses and interactions with people, you know, and I guess, you know, being on a platform, whether you're ministering to somebody, like preaching to somebody or like telling kids Bible stories, whatever you're doing, man, you know, or you're on the street helping people, whatever it is, you know, in other countries and foreign languages, you know, so you learn or I've learned a ton of things in dealing with people and reading people and knowing how to communicate with people on just a different level than what we're dealing with, real estate, you
right.
know, because it's an emotional thing, you know, it's something that some people are not prepared for. They just, I'm going to sell my property, but you know, they're crying the whole way, you know, and even at the end of it, you know, it's been a difficult transaction. Sometimes it's easy, but sometimes it's not. And we kind of have to reach into that zone and still be professional, but also still help people where they are. And it's kind of, you know,
It's a tricky career, man, because we're it's not as simple as even it's not even as simple as going up on stage and playing in front of all these people.
Right.
You know, that's as that can be simple in some ways. You know, the music, you played the music a thousand times and you jump on stage and it's about entertaining and having a good time.
Yeah.
And in some cases, you know, entertaining an audience of thousands of people is easier than being a realtor in a complicated situation.
Absolutely. I tell people this, you know, like back when I did a lot of public speaking and you know, several days a week, 1 hour or 2 hours on a platform, communicating, teaching, you know, training, brokers who are training. I mean, look, that 2 hours is like a full day's work, you know?
Yeah.
Like if you're a pastor or a priest or something ministering the Monday morning, you are wiped, you know, because you've just expended all of that energy and everything else. And
You're giving everything you have to them in hopes that they hear your message.
Yeah.
Which is the same as a musician, I'm sure, too. You get off a stage, you know, you've just poured out everything, man. You've
and given that's the everything thing. Physically. That is hard, but it's, you know, the harder part, like for me, is that I'll kind of tell on myself, because, you know, it's like we all have to I love to entertain, but when I get off the stage, a lot of times I pack myself up and I'm out the room. It's not that I don't want to communicate, but the energy that it takes to communicate, not everyone is good at sticking around and spending another hour at communicating. Sometimes I do, sometimes I can, but hey, I have a family. I've been out of this, you know, I was setting up early for a sound check. And by the time that finishes, you saw me on stage for 45 minutes, but dude, I've been doing this for 5 hours, setting up, changing, getting things right, you know, and then we're performing, you know, and it's like an agent too, you know, they see the closing, the show, the house, show the property, and then it closes. But then they don't see all the work of all the inspections and having to negotiate the buyer's and seller's response and tell people that this is not how it works, you know?
Yeah.
And then you have to cool and calm them down, you know? Sleep on it. It's okay. You just cussed me out. You're my friend, but you know.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and it's all good. Man. Yeah, and it's all good. And we all have that as
Yeah, we got to talk people off the ledge often, you know?
So we have that. And that's, it's a funny parallel because I can relate to this too, because I've DJed for a lot of years and I've DJed a lot of weddings and probably 1,000 weddings.
The Freeze, man.
Yeah, played a lot of the Freeze and Matilda. You got to play Matilda a lot. Mama and Papa won't go home till they get Matilda. Yeah. Anyway, but you know, it's the same thing. Yeah, you got to come and they look at it as, well, I'm paying you for the 4 hours or whatever that you're coming. Right. And I'm like, dude, this is your wedding, man. I'm preparing for this thing. I'm getting with you for songs and making sure I have everything in order and the name spelled correctly and said correctly and everything else. And then our setup, our teardown, our drive out to your location. It's like, you know, you're not just paying me for that. And I think that, like, realtors, and then that's where the commissions and everything come into play. It's like, hey, you know, you're not just paying us for, you know, to sell your house, right? You're paying us for the knowledge that we have to be able to get you to the closing table. And that's the part that is tough to explain to somebody.
Yeah.
But, you know, hey, you know, I mean, hopefully they get it as we start sharing our stories and sharing the struggles. But I think a lot of realtors, where they go wrong is all they do is they share the picture of them themselves at the closing table with their clients. And I'm thinking, you know, that's not a bad thing, right? You know, we're sharing the celebratory moment of the closing with the picture.
But there's
with the
so client. Much more.
But there's so much more to that. So I always tell realtors, hey, share the struggles, because that's where the true connection is. They didn't hire Bo because you look cute and go take a good looking closing picture, right? They used you because they figured that you could help with your vast business knowledge to be able to get them where they want to be, and it's a complicated deal, and they wouldn't do it with anybody else other than you. And I think that's how my clients see me too.
Sure,
is we wouldn't get into this journey with anybody else other than Jamie.
I mean, it's really intense when you think about it. You know, it's really intense. There's a lot of things that can happen. There's a lot of things that do happen.
Right.
And so many, you never know. It's fun. It's so fun. And you'll appreciate this. You never know. You can know somebody for many years and then start working with them through a real estate transaction. And it's like, wow.
This is how you
remember. Man.
Yeah.
And it's not always a bad thing. Sometimes you're just like, wow, I didn't realize, you know, because people feel differently different ways about, you know, they all have, we all have different things that are important to us, you know, like even on the buying side, some people are okay with certain repairs. They'll just do them later. They probably will never get done, but they'll do them later. Or maybe they're really good at some things or really bad at some things. So they pick what they're bad at to be important to them to get remedied, you know? And it's just funny. You never know how, you just have to work with people where they are through the transaction, you know, and help them get through it, man.
Yeah. And the complicated craziness that we bring and our backstories of everything that brought us to where we are as realtors is why they're using us. But it's definitely funny, man. So you talk about a little bit of that too, because you talked to me a little bit about like development and the complications and stuff. And that's kind of on that same topic, right? Is you do a lot of developments and complicated stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So, I guess on the development side, I guess earlier on, a few years after starting to deal, so backing up, my first transaction was actually a commercial transaction, you know, so I wanted to make sure that I could do all types of real estate right out the gate, which, you know, look, the broker at the time was like, yes, but you know, you have to have somebody experienced with you to either mentor you through the process or whatever. Said, absolutely, 100%. So I started doing that at the same time, was doing land, you know, houses. I just wanted to do it all. I love it all, you know. So I sold some land tracts for a particular seller that has a lot of land. And then next thing you know, he said, hey, why don't you list, I have some projects. He loves real estate, says, I'd like to do some development projects. You know, we've been selling a bunch of chunks of land, but let's take the 1,000 acres we have left and let's kind of think about what's going on in 5 years, 10 years, 20 years around like the Maurice, Louisiana area.
Nice.
In particular, you know. I said, great. So one deal was came to me and said, look, I have a large acreage tract that they want to put a government institution on. And I've been knowing they've wanted to do this for a while. And we kind of need somebody and close the deal and get everything rolling. And who also knows the real estate side. Said, great. So I kind of bit it off. It was a lot, took 18 months. But we had to deal with the government institutions, the state institutions. It was on state highways. It was an education facility. So there was a lot of planning. A lot that went, it was in a cane field, you know, but the location was in a growing area and there was a lot of things that were going on. I don't want to say under the table, but simultaneously, yeah. You know, it's always the case. A lot of parish money, you know, that's like counties. For those of you that don't have parishes, we have parishes.
Right.
And that's like a lot of money being allocated and taken from the state, you know.
Right.
So it became political and, you know, it was tricky, but it was great. Part of that was using my, experience over the years was corralling people together to do what was not going to get done in the amount of time it needed to get done in, basically. And the bottom line is that this person hired me to do that particular thing, to bring it all together, tie it together, and get it across to the closing table so they could begin their project.
Nice.
So it's like all of a sudden, I'm not even in real estate anymore. I'm kind of like the project manager dealing with the engineers and all of the people that are having trouble communicating together. That's what they're being paid to do. This is multi-millions of dollars, you know. The land's just one thing. I'm in the real estate trying to get the land closed for my seller, you know. And, I think a lot of it is that. And also, like, dealing with the downtown Lafayette properties. You know, you're oftentimes, if you're on the listing side or the buying side, you're buying or selling for and against the political organizations that are downtown,
right.
You know, and there's a lot of activity that's going on there, a lot of rezoning and revamping, a lot of things that are going on. So it's kind of, it's not just you have a listing in some areas. You also have to know who the players are and be a player with them and be able to communicate to everyone in those deals. But the development deals are a lot like that, you know, where you're taking something raw and you're going through the process, and that's dealing with all of the codes, of dealing with the timelines. Takes, you know, takes a bit, is a bit of things that happen along the way that always tend to take a long time. So it's kind of like staying on top of all of those moving pieces.
Yeah.
I know as an agent or a broker to make sure that it gets done and that we get a check, you know, and we get that done for our seller, our client at the end of the day, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people look at that and they see that huge check or whatever, but it's like they don't know what went into that situation. And it's a complicated, vast knowledge of things that we had to have to get to that. To get to that closing table, because man, these huge development deals, like, that's complicated. Like you said, I mean, it could take 18 months, and it's a years, and it's one piece falls apart. You know, the rest could potentially fall apart too, especially if you'd have a major state issue or a major zoning issue or something like that. Or a neighbor that doesn't cooperate. There's a lot of variables that can go wrong in that scenario.
A lot. And, you know, you have to have an open mind, and you have to be a bit discerning, because you have to be a real pro to get in there and really understand and to even have the kahunas to bite that off, because you really have to know. You can't fake it, man. You got to get in there and talk to people. You got to find out the codes. You got to do the research. It's a lot of work. You know, you're always digging into something to find out, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, part of the podcast too is talking about, like, new. A lot of times we say, like, hey, what advice would you give to a new agent? Or maybe even like you, somebody that's a little unconventional, or maybe somebody that may have gotten into the business later in life. Like, what advice would you give to somebody who's listening that's either a new agent, or they might be stuck, or maybe they're older trying to see if real estate's for them? What advice would you give them?
Yeah, man. Okay. So first of all, I think it's a fantastic career opportunity for anyone. When I hear that people are stuck, it's like, okay, you just have to find out what's not working for you, because something will work, and it's working for a lot of people. There's a lot of us who are still functioning. And look, have we had to adapt? Yes. Have I had to make some major changes? Yes. But dude, right when COVID came, I adapted right away and was like, man, what could I do? And I went out and I made a big deal out of doing some virtual showings on 3D. You know, look, I can't tell you how many people were impressed with that. You know, I mean, I know it's a normal thing, but this was just a few years ago, and I know there wasn't new technology and people were doing it, but that's the only thing we could do. I'm like, the hell, I'm not going to sell houses or properties, man. So I found a way to do it, you know, and of course I was also listening and learning to from other people who were also suggesting some of those things. They might have suggested 50 things, but I took that one as something that I felt like I could do, wanted to do. I could even kind of make some jokes about it, you know, like doing the cool property stuff and get some attention. And then I could, hey, somebody needs, sure enough, my phone rang. It was a fantastic year, you know. For somebody who's getting in that's older, no problems at all. If you're not good with computers or tech, there's tons of support services out there. You know, if you look at it like a business person and you have a little money, have a business account. And, you know, when you have a closing, advertise your properties. There's all kind of things you can do. You might not be a video person. I personally don't put a lot of video out for real estate. If I did, it would blow up. I know. So I probably don't. You know, that's just the way I am. However, that's an option too. You might not, you know, get over yourself, get in front of the camera, talk to your sphere. You probably have several deals in your phone. You know, all of those things work. You just have to do something.
Yeah.
Get unstuck, find a way, and just go freaking do something. And you're going to start selling properties. And just stay in it too. You know, a lot of people quit because they get, you know, discouraged. But if you quit too soon, you never know what can happen. Ride it out, you know, make some shifts and keep going. Or if you want to quit, quit, you know, whatever. It's up to you. But if you don't, then make the shifts you need to do. Start doing some things. Find out what's working. Dig into it. It's not really that big of a deal, and move forward. And, it, you know, it's a self-starter business. So you got to be a self-starter. This is not, if somebody has to hold your hand and tell you that over and over again, this is not the business for you. But you can learn the skills to not be like that. You can learn the skills to get over certain things and to find out where your strengths are and go talk to people.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and I totally agree. It's for self-starters. It's for those people who are, you know, want to get out there, do business, meet people, help people.
Yeah.
And if you're that, if that's your personality and that you're, you know, this is the business for you, or if you have a business background, you're used to dealing with people, helping people, having conversations, all of those things, this is the business for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it just,
and I mean, look, they're literally, I guess what I'm also trying to say is that it's such a great business as well, because you could literally find an avenue into this business from anything. You just have to let people know continually that you're doing real estate, and you will end up attracting people. Get in there and serve. I know people that they don't use a CRM. They're not really following up with leads of any kind of sort. They get all of their stuff from like a few people that refer to them. You know, I've had over the years a few clients that have referred 10 closings a year, a dozen closings a year, just because they know me, they love me, they're always talking about what I do.
Right.
I've had deep experiences with them, nothing to do with real estate. They've also followed me in my photography business. They followed me in various types of whatever I do. They like me. So when they see an opportunity to engage with me, they do. And I think for anybody wanting to grow that, if you can grow that, you're going to grow your business, whatever that business is.
Yeah.
You
know? Beautiful. Yeah, that's awesome, dude. Well, yeah, Bo, I'm going to close it out. I'm going to probably ask you to jump back on that
yeah.
fiddle, man, and we're going to probably have you play us out. So Bo's going to get loaded up on the fiddle, man. He's going to play us out.
I'm going to do a little Cajun number from the Bayou Country.
Yeah, well,
I'm even talking French for you.
Well, yeah, sounds good. Well, I'm not going to talk anymore. I'm going to let Bo play us the rest of the way out. Bo, play us out, dude.
Thanks for having me. It's something called, I went to the dance last night. J'étais au bal hier au soir. That's French. Thank you.